Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Obviously, it's our job as Bruins fans to shit on the Leafs. I'm not going to act like I don't enjoy doing it. I obviously do. But stepping back from that for a second, legitimately, if I am a Toronto Maple Leafs fan and my team just went down at home to our rival who you can never beat in the series, it's only 2-1. And the coach is going out and doing that in the press conference after the game, I'm pretty pissed off. Because that, to me, sounds like a coach who is already making excuses and, frankly, grasping at straws in a series that is not even halfway over yet. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a quick reacts episode of the Bruins and Bruins podcast, of the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehard and PWHL Boston Diehards, to be named later. Kem Hasbrook here, Chris Gear. Drew is still infested by cockroaches, personally. Hopefully not personally. I'm not really sure. I don't know if he followed the advice that you sent him of covering his ears, but yeah. One can only hope. I haven't heard from him much today, so I'm actually a little worried, but yeah, he should be okay. We got a quick one today, just a quick reaction episode after game three, 4-2 win for the Bruins in the first game in Toronto. A little bit of drama in the game, a little bit of drama in the presser afterward, and some goalie talk to get to quick. Chris, we rounded out last episode. First of all, we're skipping the beers here. We ain't got time for that today. Surprise.
No time for beers.
I don't know when that ever happens, but we should have just chugged one right off the bat. That would have been funnier, but. We wrapped up last episode talking about kind of the lack of urgency that the Bruins showed in the second half of game two. Pretty flat performance. And I talked about how I would expect a much more urgent performance, especially on the offensive side of the ice, trying to generate more shots, a little bit more pressing on the forecheck. We got that in game three. Not a perfect performance by any means, but certainly did enough to get the win. Overall, vibes for game three. How did you feel going into Toronto taking that one?
Yeah, I mean, you needed to go get one, and the Bruins already got one. So next game's a bonus. I mean, vibes are good. Yeah, I mean, Swayman looked insane again.
Yep.
Got a much needed goal from Brad Marchand. It kind of felt like he wasn't necessarily playing well the last couple games, and I mean, last couple is in like the first two periods of game three and game two, came out and sniped one. I feel like that was important. I mean, I guess he got two goals with the empty netter as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm not comfortable. I think you'd have to.
You never are in playoff hockey.
Silly to be comfortable with a one game lead in this series that, you know, you said on the last episode, probably going 6 or 7. I think the biggest question for me is the officiating going to stay this wild? I mean, I hate complaining about officiating, but it's been really bad.
It's been really, really bad.
You know, it's bad when we're complaining about it and Leafs fans are complaining about it. I'd like to think that, you know, one missed call for an important missed call against the Bruins is evened out by like 9 power plays. But, you know, I would love for the officiating to be a little less in your face about everything, you know, kind of feels like taking over the series.
Yeah, big time. I feel like that's my problem a lot of the times in the postseason is I'm certainly not the only one that's talked about this, but just the lack of any tangible threshold. It's the plays that happen 65 times a game and number 28 gets called, but 1 of 27 don't, and 29 to 60, whatever the fuck I just said, don't get called. And for a sport that already relies on a lot of bullshit bounces, as we saw from the, I guess, Tyler Bertuzzi, Hampus Lindholm double deflection goal that beat Swayman to retie the game, just throwing in bullshit that is unpredictable and that the players just can't account for like that is incredibly frustrating. Yeah, it's just, I like the hook that was called on Pasternak last game was bizarre. That was crazy. McAvoy's forearm shiver, probably certainly accidentally on purpose. Also of a play that happens about 100 times a game. It's weird to call that a penalty when like people are giving each other, you know, face washes after every single whistle. The one that happens after a hit where the guy's already falling over feels like a weird one to call. You know, Leafs fans obviously were upset about the Marchand trip on Bertuzzi. You could also argue that Bertuzzi was given a right to him before that. So one guy falls, the other guy doesn't. Like, yeah, it was a trip, but if they're both doing it and one of the guys falls, I you know, that's kind of what it is. But obviously by the letter of the law, you stick a guy's, you know, you're sticking a guy's skates and he falls, it is a trip. Yeah, just would like to see that cleaned up. We'll talk about the post-game press conference from Sheldon Keefe in a second, because that was rich for sure. But to the hockey part of it, I think, like you said, you got to win one of the two in Toronto. By definition, game three was not a must win by any means, but I think especially confidence wise, it's such an important one to get that first game on the road. You're playing a little bit with house money now. Obviously you don't really have any games to spare in the playoffs at any point. As the Bruins saw last season when they thought they had a comfortable lead in the first round against Florida. But going up to get that first one is definitely big for the confidence, especially with Swayman in net. He was incredible. I don't think you can turn away from him from game four. And that has really nothing to do with Linus Ullmark and everything to do with Jeremy Swayman. I mean, I think every guy in that locker room is probably going to tell you that they are very confident in either goaltender and they would be truthful about that. And I'm very confident in Linus Ullmark. He's given us no reason not to be, but Jeremy Swayman just has something different going on right now. And especially the way that he's played against Toronto in particular, it seems like he really has their number. I just don't think you can turn away from him for at least the rest of the series. And if the Bruins do come out and win this series, even if it's off the back of Swayman, I'm pretty sure we're going to see Ullmark again in the postseason. But for me right now, Swayman has got that factor. He seems so locked in. He's playing like a guy who, A, feels like he has something to prove as a career player in the playoffs, having just gotten the nod for the first time. And B is trying to really make up for what he saw as a failure on himself at the end of last season, despite, like we said, last episode kind of being handed the shit end of the stick in game seven. This dude's a man on a mission right now, and he loves nothing more than shoving it in Toronto's face. I just don't think you can turn away from that going into game four.
Yeah. There's something about goaltending in the playoffs that isn't human. It's not mm-hmm. something you can predict. It's those double deflection goals that you know, maybe the saves that come off of double deflections and stuff, where it's just like, for some reason this guy is making those saves right now, and like you just gotta ride that while you can. I don't mind seeing Ullmark again in this series if it's like, all right, Bruins go back to Swayman and he loses game four. Maybe you go back to Ullmark in game five. Mm-hmm. I think at a certain point you got to just say, hey, Linus, this has nothing to do with you. Sorry. Like it's not you, it's him.
Yeah. It's like trying to golf against Scottie Scheffler right now. Like you don't have a chance. It's not you. It's just that Scottie Scheffler's
sorry,
unreal.
Sorry, everybody. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I feel like it also, I agree with the whole Leafs thing. Like, yeah, he's just kind of in their heads right now. And that kind of dovetails with the Keefe press conference. If you want to roll into that.
And we shall roll into that in just a second. But first, a reminder that the Brews and Bruins podcast is sponsored by DraftKings. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on. And if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way to hoisting the Stanley Cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, and odds boost, and also so much more. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code THPN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expired 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming. Resources, copyright, NHL 2024, all rights reserved. Yeah, let's do it. So, for those of you who missed it, truly one of the wildest call-outs I've probably ever seen from a coach after the game. Toronto head coach Sheldon Keefe claiming that Brad Marchand, noted Brad, I'm going to call him Brad, benefit of the doubt Marchand, is receiving unfair treatment from the referees and is getting away with things that he can draw penalties but is not called for them.
Famously.
Like, do you think that was something that came out of his mouth and just he realized immediately how stupid he sounded? We should also note, Toronto, 9.06 of power play time, nearly a sixth of the game spent on the power play, 0 for 5. So they got their chances. The Bruins had, I think, two power plays. One of which was the garbage time Tavares one. So like the game was already really over at that point. Like, yes, the referee should have made the call, but as far as the, you know, when the game was still very tight, it was, I think, 5-1 Toronto, including four straight from penalties on the Bruins. The only one prior called against Toronto was the delay of game, which like has to be called. Just a wild thing to come out and say that of all people, Brad Marchand is getting favorable treatment from the officials. I don't know about you. Obviously it's our job as Bruins fans to shit on the Leafs. I'm not going to act like I don't enjoy doing it. I obviously do, but stepping back from that for a second, legitimately, if I am a Toronto Maple Leafs fan and my team just went down at home to our rival who you can never beat in the series, it's only 2-1. And the coach is going out and doing that in the press conference after the game. I'm pretty pissed off because that to me sounds like a coach who is already making excuses and frankly grasping at straws in a series that is not even halfway over yet.
Yeah, if the Leafs lose this series, I would put a lot of money on him losing his job.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk of him losing his job after last season, and I think he kind of saved it by winning one round.
Winning a series. To be fair, that's an historic achievement in Toronto. So
it is. And Kyle Dubas kind of paid the price for, you know, not advancing further that, mm-hmm. you know, that time. This time there's really no one to pass the buck off to. Like it's him or, you know, fold the franchise.
I want to look into that.
Yeah. No, Arizona's looking for a team.
Yeah.
It really feels like some like Trumpian politics where he's kind of like testing the waters of the fan base, like kind of surveying like what's going on Twitter. What's everyone saying? Oh, everyone's posting that meme of the ref in black and gold pinstripes. Okay. Well, start talking about how the refs are biased to it's rigged, stolen election. So yeah, it kind of feels like pandering to the fan base a little bit, maybe trying to pass the buck off to somebody else. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that it's Sheldon Keefe's fault that this team keeps losing, but no. I mean, yeah, it's just kind of how it works in the NHL. If you can't get past the first round of the playoffs or I guess second round, but if you can't get past, you got a team that everybody deems to be very good, very competitive, and you can't get it over the line, then yeah, eventually you're going to lose your job. I think at this point, it's just kind of in everybody's head. Like Austin Matthews seems like he's playing pretty well, but just hitting posts and stuff. And I don't know, like maybe this team's just cursed, but you know, that's why I always want to play the Leafs.
Yeah, it's a good thing to have.
Everyone's always saying they're scared of the Leafs, and I don't know why. But you know, somebody's gonna clip this and post it when the Bruins lose in seven. So
there you go. Yeah, I'll be real mad about it. Yeah, curious to see how that unfolds throughout the rest of the series. If we hear more about it, especially if Toronto loses another game here. But yeah, I just That was enjoyable last night to see that come out of his mouth. Honestly, it's for Brad Martian of all people, it's just a truly wild take. Back onto the ice for a second. Just giving some shouts. Obviously, Jeremy Swayman played an incredible game. Playoff Jake DeBrusk. At this point, I'm kind of willing to just sign him to a contract just for the sake of the postseason. I don't really care what he does in the regular season. At this point, the guy shows up every fucking April. You love to see that. I did miss a few parts of the game, but from what I saw, Danton Heinen really impressed me a lot. Trent Frederick looked pretty good. Obviously, scored the goal. As a team, I think the Bruins did a lot better job of just throwing shit on net, which seems to be the playbook against Samsonov. He's going to make a couple of really good saves. He's going to make a couple of really bad mistakes. So I know, you know, the Bruins are a team that tends to favor quality over quantity. I think you need to tip that a little bit in the other direction for the rest of the series. Just get bodies in front and just throw everything in the fucking crease, and eventually you're going to get some goals.
Watching this with the noted goalie expert, Kat Silverman, she was just mentioning that, like, medium danger stuff is what Samsonov absolutely cannot handle. Like, he's well below average on medium danger stuff. So, yeah, Trent throwing that random ass, you know, middle distance wrister on net.
Short side, right at the blocker. Just
like, yeah, random goal right there. I thought it was so funny. He, after the game, said, like, yeah, I mean, I scored that, and I had to, like, go around and tell everybody we scored because no one was paying attention. He went in like 1-on-3 and everyone else was changing. He just kind of threw that on net. He was like, guys, we scored.
Hello, over here. That's awesome. I didn't see that, but that's incredible. Anybody else I think that stood out to you in that game? I think you know, a few that I had mentioned there.
I mean, a lot of people just kind of like doing their jobs and not fucking up, you know. That's a big part of the playoffs. Like, I didn't see Mason Lowry do anything exceptional. He had one kind of bad turnover, but
yeah, he had the one turnover right after the goal that was pretty atrocious. But other than that, I thought he was all right.
Yeah, I wasn't like, oh yeah, this guy, get Grzelcyk back in there because this guy absolutely blows now. And I do think he provides a little more upside than Grzelcyk right now. And it's not like Grizz is playing like lockdown defense or anything at this point. Yeah,
Charlie McAvoy,
he's good. We like him.
5 shots, 7 hits, 25-47 of ice time.
Yeah, that's
especially for a team that's injured on the blue line right now. That's some workhorse shit right there. We love that.
Yeah, he's Clydesdale, man.
He's a bona fide stallion. Cool. All right, so game 4 up in Toronto on Saturday. Is that one of those weird afternoon games? I feel like they always sneak like a weekend, like 3 o'clock game, and you're like, I don't feel comfortable watching playoff hockey while it's still like really bright out. Oh, it's 8 p.m. actually. They went the other way with it. So
yeah, I was gonna say, I think every game in this series is either 7 or 8 Eastern.
Thank God. I feel like they always throw that one random like 2 p.m. Eastern, and I'm like, I am not prepared for this. I cannot handle it. So cool. Well, yeah, obviously, if you can snag this one in Toronto, you're in pretty damn good shape heading back home. Not the end of the world if they lose it, but would certainly be nice to just bury any confidence that Toronto has left. Maybe see what else Sheldon Keefe can throw out at a presser next game. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I've talked about in previous seasons. Like, game 4 often ends up being the most important game of the series, other than the clinching game, just because, you know, you lose, series is a new series. You win, you're up 2 games, and every game from here on out is an elimination game. So
let's make it happen. I want to go back to the Garden for game 5 and have that place just be an absolute fucking hellhole for Toronto fans. That's what we're looking for.
I can imagine, like, there's no nervous energy in a game 5 elimination at home.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, pending sense of doom. You lose that game 5, then game 6, you're like, all right, well, we kind of got to win this one or else we're back on our heels. And then game 7, so everyone's panicking. But
yeah,
game 5 at home with a chance to win it, everybody's like, hey, if Toronto loses this game, it's so embarrassing for them. Yeah. So let's just scream our heads off.
Yep, that's a nice day beers drunk kind of game. So we're looking for that. So, all right, we'll be back after game four with some more reactions. Hopefully, a little celebration station.
Hell yeah. Until then.